You could begin this story in any number of places. So why not in the back of a dinged-up VW van parked on a Moroccan camping beach, a commune of tents and makeshift domiciles? It's Christmas, 1972. Inside the van is Bruce Martyr, an American college dropout. He's a Los Angelino, a hippie, and he looks the part. Vagabonding for 6 months has left him scrawny and dead broke. His jeans are stitched together, hanging on for dear life. Oh, and this being Christmas, somebody has gifted him some LSD, and he's tripping. The van belongs to a couple, French woman, Dutch man, who have taken him in. It boasts a curious feature, a built-in kitchen. It's not much, just a set of burners and a drawer stocked with mustard and cornichons. But they make magic there. The couple has adventured as far as India, amassing recipes instead of Polaroids, sharing memories with new friends through food. To Mortar, raised in the Eisenhower era on processed industrialized grub, each dish is a revelation. When the lid comes off a tagine, he inhales the steam redolent of an exotic and unfamiliar herb, cilantro. The same with curry, also unknown to him before the van. Like a lot of his contemporaries, Martyr fled the United States. "People wanted to get away," he says. "Away from the Vietnam War, away from home and the divorce epidemic. The greater world beckoned. The kaleidoscopic, tambourine-backed utopia promised by invading British rockers and spiritual sideshows like the Maharishi. The price of admission was cheap. For a few $100 on a no-frills carrier such as Icelandic Airlines, nicknamed the Hippie Airline and Hippie Express, you could be strolling Piccadilly Circus or the Champs-Élysées, your life stuffed into a backpack, your Eurail pass a ticket to ride. Martyr flew to London alone, with $800 and a leather jacket to his name, and improvised, crashing in parks and on any friendly sofa and, if he couldn't score any of that, splurging on a hostel. He let himself go, smoking ungodly amounts of pot, growing his hair out to shoulder length. In crowds, he sensed kindred spirits, young creatures of the road, mostly from Spain and Finland, few Americans. Food, unexpectedly, dominated life overseas. Delicious, simple food that awakened his senses and imagination. Amsterdam brought him his first French fries with mayonnaise, an epiphany. The souks, markets of Marrakesh, with their food stalls and communal seating, haunt him. Within 5 months, he landed on that camping beach in Agadir, still a wasteland after an earthquake 12 years prior. He lived on his wits. Back home, he'd become fluent in hippie cuisine. Now he spent his last pennies on brown rice and vegetables, cooking them for strangers who shuttled him around. Just in time, people started feeding him, like the couple in whose van he was nesting. Food was as much a part of life on the beach as volleyball and marijuana. People cooked for each other, spinning the yarns behind the meals, where they'd pick them up and what they meant in their native habitats. Some campers developed specializations, like the tent that baked cakes over an open burner. Often, meals were improvised. You'd go to town, buy a pail, fill it with a chicken, maybe some yogurt or some vegetables and spices, and figure out what to do with it when you got back. Martyr might as well have been on another planet. "This was so un-American at that time," he says. He was supposed to become a dentist, but his heart was never in it. It was just one of those non-dreams foisted on him and his friends by tradition-bound elders. Back in L.A., he'd been a stoner, but a motivated one, laying the groundwork for independence, caddying, pumping gas, anything for a buck. And so he was primed for a course correction when he dropped acid that Christmas, and a new, previously unimaginable path materialized. "I'm sitting in the back of the van and I'm whacked out," Martyr says. "I'm always thinking about my life. What am I going to do? Obviously, I'm not going to be a dentist. I can't go back to school and take organic chemistry. I just sit up and go, 'God, I know what I want to do. This is what I want to do. I want to learn. I want to be a chef.'" I met Bruce Martyr as I met many of the chefs and industry veterans interviewed for this book, in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. so it's hard to fathom how young they were, scarcely in their 20s, when they began shaping the professional cooking trade in the United States.